Now at Menards, save big on everything for your landscaping project. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Plus, get fast free estimates when you use our landscape design program available in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. Also, check out the great deals from our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're talking about cultural appropriation. Another stuff. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. The political podcast. That's right. We've gone fully political here. Nothing but your political news 24/7.
That's
Hi,
right.
Everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. And here's how the show works now. If you're watching the video, you can see that I'm in red and Travis is in blue, which reflects our political affiliations as of April 30th.
As of 30 seconds ago. Yeah.
Brandon MAGA Cruz and Travis Commie Menard.
What is it? Something liberal.
LIBRAL.
Yeah.
Liberal.
Yeah. This show is brought to you by public support. This is so if you want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm where you can support public broadcasting just like this podcast. You can also follow our social media, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Instagram's apathetic_enthusiasm. Our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. You can follow the video versions of all of our podcasts at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And that's it. That's our show. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, thanks everybody. Yeah, this is the first attempt that we were doing at a political show. And I'm just not in it. My heart's not in it.
I'm not feeling it. I don't want to get canceled.
All right.
I don't want to be called fake news.
So thanks everybody for hanging out. And now we're back with our regularly scheduled programming where we talk about
nerd stuff.
It's a fun little world we're living in, and you know, we haven't done an AE in some time.
It's been a few weeks.
Why is that, Brandon? Why is it? Well, because Rick and Morty stuff is coming on fast. It's coming on quick. Rick and Morty starts May 25th, and
that's right.
We already had an interview with Kyle Starks and Troy Little for the comic mm-hmm. stuff. We have another interview that I need to finish lining up with another comic book guy. I forget it. Kibble Smith, I think is his name. And he's doing mm-hmm. the Rick and Morty event. And then of course, obviously the show itself is coming out. We hope to get some interviews. I know we got some screeners coming in.
That's right.
So yeah, it's big and heavy. The Rick and Morty coming on.
Heavy is the burden that we carry as a Rick and Morty podcast, but you know, we're going to do our best to cover the show, but we're getting one, at least one last Apathetic Enthusiasm knocked out for all of you amazing dedicated fans that download only this show. We're all talking to both of you. And
I don't even think Bob Carroll listens to this anymore. I
feel like Bob Carroll does listen to this.
Oh, really? Hey, Bob.
Because I recently got a message from Bob. For the video viewers will know that I'm in an OKC Thunder t-shirt.
And I'm in a Muppets Roosevelt shirt.
And not just because we happened to start recording at the same time that game one of the second round of the NBA playoffs is starting. So I definitely don't have another computer just off screen that is going to be streaming the Thunder game the entire time we're recording.
I feel like you have that thing.
I do. Actually, it's 0.6 seconds left on the Knicks Celtics game. And then
Okay.
And then it will go over.
That's why you're still paying attention right now.
Yeah. And then I'm checked out. But I got some messages from Bob. We were talking because, obviously because of the playoffs, and, I'm using his tickets this week to go to a game. But yeah, I feel like I recently got a text from him that was, also, as discussed on last podcast, I too am in the probably should buy a new PC department, as main PC can't upgrade to Windows 11 and only have a couple months of support left. Huh. So that was on March 27th. Bob Carroll, original sponsor.
That's right.
Still a listener. Shout out to Bob Carroll.
Still got that $50 that he gave us. Just framed.
Saving it for a rainy day.
Framed and put in like our house in Hawaii, which we both left. So that $50 is still there.
Oh, yeah. It's just somebody probably spent that on malasadas or something, probably.
Yeah. Or shaved ice.
Don't hit us with the hard D on the shave ice.
Oh,
shave ice.
Shaved
Come
ice.
On, Brandon.
Shaved ice. Because it's not shave ice. It's you have shaved it. It is a past tense.
All right. All right. What are we talking about? Marvel stuff or something?
We are. You know, Bob, real quick, going back to Bob. And we know that Bob loves to hear Bob's name anytime we're talking about him. But in our relationships, we did our first episode on Jaws, and then we did our second episode on Tucker and Dale versus Evil, Chelsea and I, and he posted, he sent me a message like, hey, how are you going to post the episode like on the streaming platform, but then not actually have the picture, right? He sent a message and like left a nice long comment on our post. He's like, I've been looking forward to Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Yes, I am afraid of stuff. And I was afraid of this movie, but I wanted to talk about it because I've loved Taylor Levine and all that type of stuff. So yeah, I was just like, look at Bob Carroll still supporting us.
What a guy. Shout out to Bobby. You're the real MVP. And everybody else that listens, you're cool too.
Yeah, but Bob mainly. Yeah.
But mostly Bob. What about Bob? lots to cover.
Lots to cover. Yeah, because there's been lots of stuff that has come out as far as series, movies. You've watched most of it. I have watched none of it except like one thing. And so I wanted to kind of cover that, right? Like we talked about Silo. We talked about whatever else is out.
In true apathetic enthusiasm fashion, you've watched half of the stuff. I've watched the other half, and we're gonna haphazardly ask each other about it.
And there's no crossover.
No, not at all. So, I think the first thing I want to start with, in honor of Star Wars Day, because we are recording this on Cinco de Mayo. Revenge of the Fifth, hence the margaritas, hence the cultural appropriation. But we want to talk about appropriating Star Wars on the 4th with a little show called Andor. Mm-hmm. Now, we both watched the first season of Andor, really enjoyed it. How much have you gotten a chance to watch of season 2?
I haven't been able to watch any of season 2 yet. Jeez. And I'm not happy about it. I want to watch the series. We talked about this when Andor first came out of how like Rogue One. I loved Rogue One, and then Andor came out and I was like, why do I give a crap about anything related to this character that I know is going to die? And then I saw some reviews. I'm like, okay, let's give it a shot. And I fell for it. I was so excited for Andor season 2 to come out. And I just, for this, that, or the other reason, I haven't watched it yet, but I want to. Part of it was, I think, like, maybe does Chelsea want to watch it with me? Does Dexter want to watch it with me? I'm like, I'll ask him. But by the time I asked him, it was already like 6 episodes in.
Well, and the thing about that is it's only been out for 2 weeks.
Right.
But they keep dropping it in 3-episode chunks. So instead of a single episode and then you're having to wait a week for the next one, they're releasing like an entire story arc, which, I mean, that's sort of how the first Andor season was made up, where there are these different chunks in time, different mm-hmm. story arcs that happened throughout. And for some reason, they decided just let's push those all out, almost like 3-hour movies.
Right.
One week at a time. And it's been really great. I guess 6 episodes are out as of this recording. I've watched 5 of them. I binge watched the first 3. One, because my kiddo was in the hospital. I was in there with her. She was like sleeping in the morning and I was awake and I was like, well, I got my laptop. Andor just came out yesterday. Let's watch these episodes. So I watched the 3-hour movie that was the first bit. And then I was not tracking that they were going to be doing 3 at a time the next week. I was like, all right, one more episode, one a week. This is fine. Just like Daredevil, where they like give you a couple episodes at the beginning. I was like, all right, now we'll get in this grind. But no, 3 more episodes. I was like, I got to pace myself. You can't be doing this every week.
Can't handle it.
I got trading cards to collect or something. So,
so 5 of the 6 episodes so far. We love the first season. What is your verdict so far of the second season?
I really like it. It is. How do I want to phrase this? I feel like Andor is Star Wars for grownups a little bit, right? It's a lot more into political intrigue and the early formation of this rebellion as the Empire has taken over. There's a lot of things that you have to read into them. They're subtle. You have to appreciate, I don't know, emotion and complexity in relationships with in the first story arc. What's her name?
She gets tortured by like the sound device thing. Is that
no? That's Bix. The lady that ends up being like in charge of
like she's like kind of,
I keep wanting to say Moff Tarkin, and like, I'm like,
she's like dating, that's not it. She's dating the guy who like messed up in on the jail planet or whatever, and like he was going after Andor the entire time, but like now it's like him, her, and then his mom. Like I've just seen like clips of the 3 of them, and it's talking about relationships and like them both being damaged people that don't know how to love each other.
Mon Mothma is who I was thinking of.
Oh, you're thinking about Mon Mothma.
Way off.
I'm thinking of the Empire people.
Yeah. We can get to them in a moment.
Okay.
But there's a whole story arc in the first 3 episodes that is carrying on from the end of season 1, where Mon Mothma
selling off her kid,
more or less betrothed to, and from the planet that she comes from, there's a lot of history and a lot of tradition, cultural significance to these weddings, and it is symbolic for her of a lot of other things that are happening in her life, where she is kind of stepping into a more active role in the formation of this rebellion. And she's hesitant. It's dangerous. She's worried that people are going to get hurt, that she's going to lose people. And through the course of the 3 episodes, people very close to her have an uncertain fate. She's very concerned about what's going to happen, while all the time having to put on this face of like, everything's great. I'm at a wedding. I'm happy for my daughter. Just like she has to put on this face, like, I'm just this political diplomat that works in the Senate and is negotiating trade deals and not trying to, you know, undercut the emperor or anything like that. So, that was really good. The first arc, the part with like Cassian himself, Cassian Andor, felt kind of weird because, like, it was, he just kind of lands on this planet where he's supposed to meet people, and there's these, this group that's basically fighting amongst itself. And when I was first watching it, I was like, what is the point of this? Like, why does any of this matter really in, like, the scheme of the show? But then as I thought about it, I was like, this is a microcosm of what's happening across the galaxy mm-hmm. at this time in the history, where there are all sorts of small pockets of rebellion rising up, but they're not organized. They're not, they don't know who to trust. They don't know
what
side they're on half the time.
Well, because like in the season one, the Forrest Whitaker stuff, Saul Guerrera, right?
Yeah.
Saul Guerrera. Like there's infighting there, and he's like, this is how we should do the rebellion. And then there's other groups that are like, no, we should do the rebellion like this. And you see that in Rogue One as well. And it's like, I imagine that is part of what is going on in the first couple episodes, right? It's like, everyone, what is the best way to fight against the Empire when you don't know if this sect right here is, they are actually with the Empire trying to, you know, you'll infiltrate you and undercut your rebellion.
Yeah, it's that's the type of stuff where if you just look at some of these episodes at face value, it's almost like, all right, it's just some good Star Wars stuff. But as you examine it more, it you peel back those layers and it gets really even more interesting. I think this is the second and final season of Andor. I believe it is meant to be.
I think it leads into Rogue One.
Yeah. So there's that. I feel like I'll have to, as soon as I turn the show off, you know, spin up Rogue One just to appreciate all of Cassian's sacrifice. But yeah, if you have not watched any Andor, I highly, highly recommend starting with season one and just enjoy the ride. I really do think it's good. Big fan.
Some of the best Star Wars to come out since Empire Strikes Back. Speaking of Star Wars, Pedro Pascal, Mandalorian.
Yeah, the Mando. Mandalorian. Uh-huh, that's right.
Uh-huh. He did this other show, Last of Us, the first season of Last of Us.
Yeah. Last of Us, heard of it.
Mm-hmm. And then now it's in its second season. You we're not gonna do any spoilers for Last of Us, but are you caught up? You're at least for episode two.
Yes. I have not watched episode three, which came out yesterday. No.
Yeah.
Episode four came out this weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
So I've watched through episode three. And yeah, it's that. I did not play the video games. Mm-hmm. And fans of the show will know that I'm not big into spoilers. Typically, I like to shield myself from spoilers so that I can feel the emotion and feel whatever the show or movie creators were trying to surprise you with or emotionally invest you with. And sometimes for me, when I read spoilers, that's just, it's undercut for me. I don't feel it as much. But I know this show is based on video games that have been out for a very long time. So it's like people who, like, if you read Harry Potter and then didn't want the movie to spoil what happens, right? Like, it's the same story, right? So I get that, and they've been very true to the games in a lot of ways.
Snape killed Dumbledore.
Yeah. don't spoil. We said no spoilers.
Yeah, I know. But the movie spoiled it already, so.
It's true. I was spoiled before season two or episode two.
Oh, somebody had spoiled it for you already.
Someone in my home. people who claim to love me, and
not Sheena.
Well, it's a conversation between Sheena and Allie, my oldest. And they just out in the open, blatantly talking about it. And I was like, how dare you?
Oh, that sucks, man.
I'm canceling our Max subscription.
Because I would have, again, we're not gonna say what the twist is if you want to watch The Last of Us. But it happens in the second episode. And I've known about this for a long time because Last of Us Season 2 is based off of Last of Us 2. And so if you are following that game at all, you have heard some of the backlash about that game, about people like, what the hell? Like, they've kind of feeling a little bit betrayed. And I was like, I am interested to see how early in Season 2 are they going to do this big twist?
Right.
When are they going to do it at the end of the season and like build up to it? Or are they, you know, they're going to do it early on? And the way everything made it seem was like, well, I guess it's not going to happen that quickly. And then it did.
It happened real quick. Yeah.
So I would have liked to have heard your take on it, seeing it live, not being spoiled, and be like, oh, shoot, look at that stuff.
Yeah, I can say that some close friends of ours out here, the husband knew from the games, knew what was going to happen. His wife, no idea. And she was an emotional wreck. She was texting Sheena immediately, like, have you watched the episode yet? Call me, text me immediately when you have watched it. Like, I need to talk to someone about this. But I will say, you know, because we're talking around a lot of spoilers and the plot of the show, I feel like Season 2 has carried on the quality of Season 1 of The Last of Us. The scale of this show can feel very small and intimate and, you know, between people. But that second episode in particular, that it's like a movie. Like, the level of effects, the environments that they're in, the sets, like all of it. It's really well done. And I mean, like, HBO has been known for
prestige.
Yes.
Prestige and television.
It's solid. It's really good. Like, it's a really good show. We talk about me, just like Bob Carroll, not being into horror, not being really into like scary stuff. Zombie stuff tends to be outside of my bounds for things I find like too scary or creepy. And so obviously we watched Walking Dead for a long time, things like that. So this doesn't really fall into that category for me. It's not really like horror in my opinion. Yeah, there's some suspenseful scenes and things, but yeah. So I really like it. Are you caught up?
No, I'm not. I was spoiled about the twist because of X. Because I still doom scroll.
Because
on that.
You still go to X.
I do, yeah. Because I want to see what kind of bullshit's happening in this country we live in. And that is honestly the best place to go see it. Because I put myself outside of my bubble. I'm like, let's see what's going on, and then I'm like, oh gosh, all right, well. Thank you. That's what I thought was going to happen. Okay, back to my bubble.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because, and I'll get real nerdy. This probably won't be the last time in this episode. My Lorcana fixation. I think a lot of Lorcana, like the pro Lorcana players, and I am doing air quotes for those in the audio listeners. They post a lot on Twitter about tournaments they're going to, about how the tournaments went, things like that. So, my dog is trying to attack me. Hold on a second.
I'm like, oh my gosh, what's that?
Like,
what's happening?
I think we got clickers coming in here. Here, let's just do this. Let's just do this live. Let's call Sheena on the podcast. I won't put her number on.
Yeah, no. Yeah. All right.
We'll just put her on speaker.
This is good. This is good quality content.
She's ghosting me.
She would pick up right away.
I just hung up on her. But I don't hear the dog anymore. So maybe she was getting the dog. Oh, she's calling me back. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. Oh. Hey, Sheen. Hi, you're live on Apathetic Enthusiasm. How are you doing? Could you do me a solid and come get the dog out of our bathroom? Because it sounds like she's a zombie trying to break in to the podcast.
She's just trying to get straight to your door. Come here. Okay. Done.
All right. Thanks. Here. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Sheena Menard, everybody.
There she is. Pay her her residuals, folks.
That's fantastic.
That's what I love about Apathetic Enthusiasm. You know, it's a casual environment.
Yeah, and I don't have to edit anything. Not that I do, I especially don't have to do it now. I want to talk about something spoilery, but probably not until after a quick little break.
Okay. Yeah. Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we can talk about a big spoiler that's like an open spoiler, but we'll get into some Marvel movie news. How about that? All right, we'll be right back. That's right. We took an interdimensional RSS break for the viewing audience.
Oh, you did. I was like, wait, no, I played the right music.
Yeah. I just put the wrong slide up on the video.
cool. Well, as we were talking about spoilers for Last of Us, we didn't get into the spoilers, but I think that's a good way to kind of segue into what is now like an open spoiler, which is the Thunderbolts movie. So the Thunderbolts movie came out this last weekend. It says Thunderbolts. It has an asterisk on it. And a lot of people were wondering, why does it have an asterisk on it?
That was like a big like subplot to the release of the movie. I think Kevin Feige would walk around with a hat that just had an asterisk on it. Like he always has his ball caps. But as they were promoting this movie, he really featured the asterisk prominently. I don't know. There are a lot of questions about what it could mean.
Yeah, and so I'll get into that at the end of this talking about it. But so I, whereas Travis watched Andor, he watched The Last of Us. I actually went and saw Thunderbolts this last weekend, and like it was one of those. I'd heard good things about it. I'm like, I'm interested in it. I'm interested in a non-standard Marvel movie. I kind of looked at it as like the Suicide Squad, but for Marvel a little bit, right?
Sure.
Anti-heroes who are doing heroic things. Or good things. All right, let's check it out. And I will say, went with Dexter, went with Chelsea. I enjoyed it a lot, and Dexter enjoyed it as well. Chelsea, she was like, I mean, it was okay, but it felt like it was rehashing some of the formula for like Avengers movies. She was like, it felt like kind of like a poor man's Avengers movie. and I could see that. And I was like, I think that's kind of the point of the movie, is that it's kind of like it felt like a poor man's Avengers movie. Okay. So the open spoiler that is going on right now, that whole asterisk is, there are signs that are being changed. So like in LA, you know, on the skyscrapers, they'd have like the big Thunderbolts with the asterisk on there and all the characters. They've changed that now to where it says New Avengers, the New Avengers, with the asterisk at the beginning of the title versus at the end. And that's like a joke that happens kind of at the end of the movie, is that they become the New Avengers. A lot of people are upset because they're like, the movie just came out and you're already spoiling things. Here's where I'm kind of like, there's a gradient of spoilers when it comes to things,
okay,
right? Like saying that they're the New Avengers, it might make you think like, oh, what? I'm missing something incredibly important from this movie. Something clearly happens in this movie where it's like, oh shit, they're the new Avengers. This is a massive spoiler. I gotta tell you, it's not a massive spoiler at all, right? It is. They are the poor man's Avengers. It's the new Avengers is kind of a joke.
Yeah, and I mean the new Avengers is a line of comics, right? Like there are groups in the comics that are the new Avengers. It's a different team. They step in when the Avengers are unable to, or they've disbanded or something happened, right? And even in the promotional material for this movie, prior to the big reveal that this is a new Avengers movie, like the new Avengers, there were quotes and like reviews saying the most fun since the Avengers or since Endgame and stuff like that, really kind of playing into that Avengers type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like spoilers. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
But I was a Marvel movies opening weekend, every weekend kind of guy for a long time.
Right.
The hit or miss success over the last few years with some of the Marvel movies has caused me to not have to be an opening weekend guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was very busy this last weekend with other plans, so that prevented me from going opening weekend. But the title change doesn't really like spoil the plot or anything that really happens in the movie.
No, it doesn't.
For me. So it's more of just it's fun for whoever the diehards that were like, we're going to see this opening weekend because we still live and breathe everything Marvel. And they're in on the joke for this week before it's revealed to everyone, right?
Yeah.
I feel like they've done this before with, it wasn't Endgame, was it? There were a couple movies where they were like, really like, don't spoil it. Let people find out whether it was the snap in Endgame or not Endgame, but Infinity War. But I feel like there was something else where maybe was it Spider-Man No Way Home?
Don't tell people about the three Spider-Men that are in this movie.
And like for the first, like all of the lead up, it was like, don't tell anybody that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are in this movie. And then after like a week, they're like, okay, let's put out the promotional material that shows the three Spideys in it.
Yeah.
And let's, okay, like the people that are really going to be passionate about not getting spoiled have seen this movie. Now we can bring in everybody else that's like, oh, there's three Spider-Mans in it. Let me go check it out. I'll see what this is all about.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like this isn't the first time we've had that, but
no,
it is cool that they did it.
I do remember that. I think what's different for this is it wasn't like it was, whereas like the Spider-Man stuff was kind of like, hey guys, don't tell anybody. Let's just keep it hush hush. Look, I know you've heard that Alfred Molina's in this. We know that you know that Electro's in it, right? Like we know that, but we're not saying Jerry Maguire. Toby is in it. We're not saying that Andrew Garfield's in it.
Show me the money.
we're not saying that, but obviously you know, right? And you kind of assumed. This one is like it didn't this one is they promoted the movie as Thunderbolts with an asterisk the entire time. And everyone's like, "Why is there an asterisk?" And throughout the movie, you're like, oh, it's an asterisk because of this is why they call themselves the Thunderbolts, which that I'm not going to get into that because I think that is an important point. But then they come out and they're like, here's why there's an asterisk on the title, because that asterisk implies that it's actually named something different. And then the movie comes out and they're changing all of the branding, all of the advertisements. So the guy who plays Bucky, Sebastian Shaw.
Sebastian Stan.
Yeah. Now Shaw is an X-Men villain. but there's a video of him going up to a bus stop. He's got like posters. He goes up to a bus stop where Winter Soldier's there and says Thunderbolts with the asterisk. And he takes one of these posters down, lines it up, tapes it up, rolls it down, and it's the same picture, but at the bottom of it, it says the New Avengers. And then he walks away with it, right?
Yeah, it's like, great. It's great branding, and it's great like week in branding to reinforce. Like you get in all of your diehards, and then it's like, hey, everybody that missed it, here's another reason why you should come see this movie. It's really solid.
I think I'm interested in it because it's kind of a risk in advertising, right? They don't know if it's going to work, right? It just started today. They don't know if in the long term it's going to be successful for them or not. They're going to be like, whoa, this is a new Avengers movie? It wasn't marketed as that at all. People are like, this is the lowest grossing Avengers movie of all time. Like, well, yeah, because it wasn't advertised as an Avengers movie. It was advertised as Thunderbolts.
One of my coworkers was sitting in my office when you sent me when we were chatting back and forth, and you were messing with the asterisks, and then you're like, yeah, I went and saw the New Avengers this weekend. I was like, you mean the Thunderbolts? And you're like, no, New Avengers. And then
did you think I was just fucking with you?
100%, 100%. Because I hadn't been X or anything all day, so I. And then you sent me that like screenshot of the promotional material being changed. Then you sent me that Sebastian Stan video. Cool. And I was like, because
it said Thunderbolts, and then it has like the strike through, and it says New Avengers. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought it, I mean, it's great. I really do like it. But I was like, yeah, it's called the New Avengers now. And he's like, what? I don't like that at all. Ugh. And I was like, no, it's like from the comics, the New Avengers. And he's like, huh? Like, this is like a new Avengers movie? Like, but they're the Avengers now? Like, I don't get that. I'm like, no, like, they're the new Avengers. Like, they're like, those Avengers are still the Avengers, but these are the new Avengers. And they're like the B squad. They're like the bench team in the basketball game that's just slightly off screen right now. Like, They're like the backups.
They're not the actual Avengers. The group is called the New Avengers.
Yes. And when I was able to articulate that to him, he's like, oh, okay, I get it. Like that's pretty cool.
Because there's also the West Coast Avengers in the comics as well, right? You have the Avengers.
Young Avengers, right? Young is that Avengers. Young Avengers?
Yeah.
There's a lot of Avengers. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I think it'll be cool to see this group team up potentially with lots of other characters in sort of like a doomsday type movie because we've already seen the Instagram post with all of the like director's chairs with all of the actors' names on it that are going to participate in it. Some old Avengers, some new Avengers. So I think that's really cool. It made me more excited to see the movie this weekend. I think that's saying something. I think that makes it, worth the risk. I want to know when this is released on Disney Plus, on Blu-ray, what do you put on the box? What do you put on the, the widget that you're going to, why can I not think of that word? The thumbnail.
So as far as like DVD, Blu-ray box, here's how I would do it. I would have Thunderbolts on the actual sleeve, and then you take it off, and then it's New Avengers. That's how I would hire this man.
Hire him. get him right now.
That's how I would do it. Respect, Disney.
Respect. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, or just all of the outside packaging is Thunderbolts, and then you open it up and the disc says the new Avengers and stuff.
Yeah.
You could do that. You could do that with Disney Plus. The thumbnail says Thunderbolts. You click on it. Splash screen tears across it. New Avengers.
Yeah. You know, and I'll tell you why it's not a spoiler. Well, it's a spoiler because it happens in the movie, right? But you don't know at what point in time in this movie the new Avengers thing happens. It could be 5 minutes in. It could be at the very, very end. It could be in the middle. You don't know when that happens and what the context is. And I think that context, that not knowing what that context is, that's what's going to make you kind of be like, all right, how is this
the new image?
Yeah. What I'll say. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we've talked about guerrilla marketing now for probably 10 minutes, but what were your actual thoughts on the movie? Like without getting too much into spoilers yet.
Yeah. So the first probably half of the movie, I was like, I kind of thought the whole movie was going to take place in this one area. I was like, oh, this is what the movie's going to be about. But I saw some of the trailers. I know it goes on beyond that eventually. But we spent a long time in kind of one locale, and it wasn't bad. Like it was fun. Yeah. And then the second half, I would say, is a better movie. I enjoy the second half much, much better. The guy who plays Sentry, Robert Pullman, I think. He is Bill Pullman's son, which there's a fair amount of nepotism in this movie because you also have, Kurt Russell's son is in it, right, as U.S. agent.
Okay.
Wyatt Russell. So he's in it. And then you have Bill Pullman's son who is in it. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Nepotism. but he,
the nepotism Avengers,
yeah.
the Nepo Avengers.
Yeah. But Sentry, his name is Bob in the movie also. Like he, when you,
more spoilers.
He's introduced and he's the best part of the movie. He's so good. And, It turns into a big metaphor about like emotion and like loneliness and depression and stuff like that, and like being together. It's a good movie. You might see memes out there and jokes about like it being like the Care Bear, like a bunch of different Care Bears, or like I saw one where it's like Inside Out. And they're like in the control room, right? And you know, it's fun to joke about, but it's an actual movie about, and it comes out in May, Mental Health Awareness Month. Yeah. Like it works. So I enjoyed it.
That's good. I'm excited to see it. Hopefully, can sneak in a viewing on Mother's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A preemptive shout out to all the moms out there. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's
Mom,
Day.
Mom, if you're listening, happy Mother's Day.
Mom, I know you're listening, but happy Mother's Day.
That's fair. But I want to steal a little bit of what time we have left to justify the fact that I didn't go see Thunderbolts, a.k.a. New Avengers, this weekend. And that's, of course, because I was playing Lorcana.
It's a Lorcana minute.
Yeah. Set Champs is here again. Set Champs is the last month when a set of Lorcana cards is out on the market, where local game stores are invited to host competitive tournaments where they're given additional prizing. This set, every person that participates gets a special promotional card. If you get in the top 8 of the tournament, you get a cool foil enchanted card. And then if you win the tournament, you get a playmat. This differs from previous tournaments. The top 2 used to get playmats. Now just the number 1 player gets a playmat. We drove like an hour on Saturday to go to a tournament that was on the other side of the city, well away from us. And there were about 19 people participating in that one. many of whom I knew. There were five of us from my little group that plays together. Mm. And four of the five of us got into the top eight to get that playmat. My son, Caleb, actually got second place overall in the tournament. He's a force to be reckoned with, man. Like, it's just so cool watching him play against people like twice his age and just holding his own, confidently going into some of those matchups. Like, friends of mine are like frustrated when they get paired up with him, 'cause they're like, no, I gotta play Caleb. Dang it. Like, so unfortunately he did get second, losing in the final round. It did go to game three. So both players won a game, and then he just didn't have it in that third game. So he didn't get a runner up playmat for the first set. But yeah, and then we drove home, went to sleep, woke up and did it all again. At another tournament where I had an abysmal day, did not even get close to top eight. Yet my son got eighth place, and got to top eight, and then ended up, I think, seventh overall in the tournament. So he's got two of these here. I have it for the video viewers. This is the new foil enchanted Hero Hamada.
Oh, it looks like promotional a Vegeta card. Is that Vegeta?
Dragon Ball Z. Yes. Yeah, that's who it is.
The famous Disney character.
Look, it's sparkly. It's sparkly. There's my ring light. You can see my ring light. But anyway, so yeah, that's what I did all weekend. Big Lorcana news comes out tomorrow, including set rotation, which everybody's kind of mixed feelings about.
What is set rotation?
These are the things I learn about after getting into the hobby that have existed for years, but I had no idea that this was an actual thing. So like, as more and more sets of cards come out, we're on this is the seventh set of Lorcana. The eighth set comes out at the beginning of June. As more and more cards are released, that gives people more options of things that they can put into their decks. And ultimately, over time, there's a power creep, right? Because better and better cards come out, and you can pick and choose the best of, you know, eight sets worth of cards, and then people can just build these really strong decks, and you just have to keep releasing better and better cards to kind of level out the game. Otherwise, it just gets unbearable, yeah. Right? Yeah. So what a lot of card games do, apparently, I'm learning, and what it seems like Lorcana is going to do because of the leaked footage that some influencer... it wasn't me. I'm not a Lorcana influencer yet.
Is it the same guy who did the Shador Sanders prank call?
I don't think so. Could have been. But there is like a slide that shows the first like nine sets of the game, and with the first four sets being like grayed out, which basically
you can't play those cards anymore.
So in official competitive play, so if you were to go to play in a game store or in a tournament, all the cards in those first four sets would be off limits for building your deck and competing with. Some caveats to that is it looks like there's going to be reprints of cards. So cards that are really difficult for people to get because they came out in set one, and maybe they didn't start playing till sets four or five or six, right? Like they're hard. Those, unless you want to spend money to buy them, you know, online from people or stuff like that, those cards can be hard to get. So it looks like they'll be reprinting cards, which means if a card is reprinted in a later set, you can play with your original versions from a previous set if it's the same card.
Yeah. It's like if you have the original Pikachu, they did a set rotation. And then, you know, seven sets later, like, oh, they reprinted Pikachu. You're like, okay, I can play with it again.
I can play with my OG Pikachu.
Right? How do you feel about that? Right? You said some people are unhappy about it. How do you feel about set rotations?
my initial reaction was frustrated because, you know, I've invested money into this. I'm not just a fan of the gameplay, but I do like the cards themselves, and I collect the cards as well as just play, right? So I like to have at least a master set, if not a play set. Master set, one copy, play set, four copies of cards, and I try to collect as close to a play set as I can of each set. I did that not realizing that there would come a point in time where those cards would not be viable for play anymore, right? So I'm going to have as close to a play set of the first four sets that are either going to sit on a shelf. I may be able to play some of them if they get reprinted, or they're introducing a new format, which is called like Infinite Constructed or something, which allows you to play with every card that's ever made. It's just going to be its own thing separate from core constructed play. So my first thoughts were, this sucks. Like, all these cards I have are going to be not be able to be used. But the more I thought about it and the more I read, you know, Reddit pages and other people's perspectives, I realized, like, for people that have played cards for a long time, set rotation is necessary. Like, it's needed to keep the game healthy and keep it from getting out of control and just not fun anymore because decks become too powerful. So it's a way of balancing the game, and the, you know, capitalist in me, I guess, understands that for this game to continue to grow and for it to continue to be supported, the company has to make money. And that means people have to keep buying cards. And if you're not incentivized to buy the newer sets, because I'll just play with these old sets that are still stronger than the new stuff coming out, then that's not a great business model for the company either. So,
I think where I have an issue is I feel like the speed, the acceleration rate of releasing new decks it's gotten faster. Like every time I stop by a Best Buy or a Target, I'm like, oh, what? Wait, oh, there's a new set of decks coming out already. Like they are accelerating the amount of categories or themes.
Yeah,
right?
Just the sets are coming out very frequently. And I would agree with you. And I think that's the one thing, even people that are fans of set rotation, they feel like it's happened too fast. We're not two full years. You're coming up on the second anniversary of the game coming out, and 2 years they feel like is too fast to start to be in rotation.
Because last year I bought a big box, right? And I was like, all right. But since then, I think there's been like three new themed decks that have come out.
Yeah, cool. Because they released two single player decks with each new set, and you bought, Shimmering Skies. Uh-huh. Yeah. And since then there's been Azurite Sea and Arcasia's Island. So it's only been two new sets. Third set coming out at the end of the month, Reign of Jafar. So Reign of Jafar will be out when we see each other over the summer. In California.
So like, as far as business models go, well, you know, like give people time to save up money so they can buy the new cards and go through those motions, because even like with Pokemon, we'll go with Pokemon. Like, if I go to a collector store and I see a bunch of Pokemon cards, I'm like, well, I don't know when these came out, because you guys are just repeating cards now, or you're like, how am I supposed to know? You've saturated the market with so many cards. Same thing with Magic, right? Like, just so many. Yeah. And if you want to keep things competitive, maybe don't introduce things so often. Build up your leagues, build up your competitive infrastructure, and then start, then like do it like seasons, right? Like a season of a year of this, then you're going to go move on.
I agree with you to an extent. I think a year is too long, honestly.
Well, you got that continuous discovery, product management stuff in you. You know, a year's too long.
You know how it is. You know how it is. over the holidays, that Azerite Sea set came out in about November, and then we had Christmas and New Year's and stuff like that. And so that set was out for about 4 months. And then Arcasia's Islands came out in March, and that was like March, April, May this month. We're already in set champs, and the new set is coming out next month. So it was only 3 months for this one. That 4 months felt good. That felt like enough time to get some cards, learn some new mechanics, build some new decks, try them out for a while, play in some local tournaments or, weekend local play, stuff like that. And then have your event at the end of the season, right? At the end of the set. And about that time, it was starting to feel like not stale, but like, okay, like I understand what's available. Certain decks have become popular, and I want to see something new. 3 months has felt very fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a sweet spot there where
have you ever started playing a video game and then you're playing it, you haven't finished it. You're like, okay, I'll take a break from this for maybe a month or two. I've got stuff going on, family, job stuff, right? And then you come back to it. A bunch of patches have been applied to it, some mechanic changes, and you come back to it and you're like, what? I don't know how to play.
I don't remember this game at all.
I don't know how to play this game anymore. Wait, they changed A from jump to X. Like, no, the A button does this. Like, it might be a little bit extreme, but like you come back into it and you're like, well, it's already moved. It's changed something that I was familiar with. Something that quick, like 3 months, 4 months, like it can turn people off because you're like, well, no, you're moving faster than I'm good with you moving. Like, I'm not going to collect anymore because now you're just trying to make money off of me.
Yeah. And I've seen lots of people post that in different platforms where they say that the amount of sets coming out and the frequency of the sets, it's too much for them. It's too much for their bank account, right? Like there's definitely people that like only buy the cards that they need for the deck that they want to play, right? They're not collectors. They're just competitive card players. And they study the cards. They come up with an idea and then they buy the cards that they want in paper format so they can take it to a store and play with, right? Incomes are different, right? For different people.
Yeah.
There was a guy playing on Sunday against Caleb who every card in his deck was either the enchanted version of a card, which is the highly rare, highly collectible, most expensive version of the card. It was either a foil, a special, like D23 special edition copy. There were some Chinese and Japanese copies of stuff. But like, if there was a fancy version of the card that he could play, it was in his deck, right? This guy loves playing Lorcana. Probably has disposable income. If this is what he chooses to do with his money, I can't judge him for that, right? People have all kinds of hobbies that they pour money into.
Yeah.
the fact that there was a like one of my mortgage payments in his deck box, like that's between him and, you know, his financial you know, consultant advisor. Yeah. Like,
but
it looked beautiful. It did.
Right, but that money doesn't go back to the trading card company, right? That goes it goes to eBay, it goes to the trading card places. So as far as like the money is concerned in the business model, they're not the ones who are making that money back from it. It's people who are buying like 10 boxes and they're like, "Well, we can sell like 3 of these cards because we only got 3 of the enchanted cards out of these boxes, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, I no shame for the people who have the money that spend their money on this. Like, you guys enjoy it, and it's a father-son bonding thing. Like, you guys enjoy the card. You love Disney. That's great. I just, for me, I'm like, man, these fucking assholes are just they see a spot and they're like, we're gonna keep releasing cards. And then people who suck are gonna keep doing art for them, and then, you know, it's a whole thing.
Well, I don't know if that guy sucks or not. We'll see. It could have just been a joke. We make all kinds of jokes that are in the same vein. I want to say two last things about Lorcana. I know this turned into way longer talking about Lorcana.
This is the first time I was interested in talking about Lorcana for decades.
I love this. All of this, again, I don't know what's actually going to happen. I could stop, right? I could stop whenever I want. No, I'm not addicted. I could stop whenever I want. I could take all the cards that I have. I could probably make a variety of decks with them. Like, I can never buy another Lorcana card, and we could still play with them for a while. But I think at some point that might get stale or old or be like, I think they're releasing the new cards. There is an excitement to it. I'm not going to lie. There's a bit of a rush and adrenaline kick when you, when you crack that pack and see if you got any good pulls. Right. The collecting aspect is fun. It's definitely something that is not, I don't know if I fully understood how expensive the hobby could be when I initially got into it. And so I've had to kind of reset my expectations on, and again, like I'm buying cards for two, right? I buy cards for me and my son. There are times when I'm like, hey, he's got two of this card and I've got two of it. And hey, I'm going to use these, your two, and I'm going to let you use these cards of mine, and we'll make the best decks we can between the two of us. Cause I don't want to drop, you know, $75 on the two cards we need to, you know, flesh out this deck or something like that. So anyway, that's that. The last thing is, and you can't see it on YouTube, but I'll move it just so you can. There's this little camera up here in the top of my screen. That is a second webcam that now points directly down at my brand new desk that I've had for a little over a week now. And I'm all set up for webcam gaming. And so now I can use Pixelborn Connect, which is an app that's designed for playing Lorcana over webcam. It works really well. It's kind of awkward at first to just randomly jump in like a Zoom call with somebody that you don't know, and it's just their desk surface, and you're like, all right, well, you want to cut, I guess, right? And you just jump into games. But for me, it's been a great way to test decks against other people and things like that. And, you know, people, especially in my line of work, people move all the time. People, you know, stick around for a while and they don't. So it's a way for me to play against other people, because you can create custom games too and play with friends and stuff like that. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been fun. So I'm just saying, if you have a deck, I know you got a webcam.
Yeah, I only have one though. Definitely not two.
That's fine. That's fine.
Definitely not two, because why would I need two cameras for me and Chelsea to talk about movies on our Real Relationship podcast?
If you haven't checked it out already, check out Our Real Relationships, the newest podcast on the Apathetic Enthusiasm Podcast Network.
This week we're covering Three Amigos.
Oh,
I put
back to cultural appropriation.
That's right. I put the poll out there and was like, because Chelsea and I were going back and forth. We're like, oh, what movie should we do? And it was like, well, May is Mental Health Awareness in a month. So like Falling Down was a good one with Michael Douglas. And then like, but Mother's Day is next weekend. Like what movies could we do? Well, Aliens, right? Aliens is a big mother movie. And then it was like, well, Cinco
Sophie's
Mine.
Choice. So
nah, we'll save that for next year. And then Three Amigos, like, well, it's Cinco de Mayo. Like, we didn't want to do Coco because everyone does Coco, right? For Cinco de Mayo. And so then I put the poll out there on Instagram, and then people were like, Three Amigos was like number one by like a vote. And then it was Aliens and then Falling Down. Like, let's just do it in that order. So next episode, we'll watch Three Amigos, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short. And then
you're mapped out. You're mapped out for the month.
Mapped out. You know, one of my favorite things about doing this is like Chelsea had the idea of let's donate to charity for each one of these episodes, like each one of these movies. And I was like, that's so good. That's such a smart idea because it's a tax write off. For the business. No, I didn't say that. I said that like 2 weeks into
you
it.
Just that was the inside voice.
Yeah. But no, it's fun being able to be like, yeah, like I want to donate money to these random charities that are not like the big ones, right? Like, yeah, give it to sharktrust.org or Appalachian Voices. I think that's fun. So it's been really cool doing that with her. Real last thing, unrelated to movies, there is a game I've been playing called Claire Obscura Expedition 33. It's on Game Pass. It's on Steam. It's on a few different places. It's a kind of a Japanese RPG a la fantasy, Final Fantasy, but it was developed by some like 30 people who were in Ubisoft. It is such a beautiful game. It is a fun game. It's a good game. And so I've been playing that pretty consistently over the last two weeks. Highly, highly recommend. It's got great reviews. And probably tonight I'm going to stay up till 3 a.m. again playing it because I'm almost done. I'm almost done with it. I've almost beaten it. But it's really good. I recommend.
Is it like a story-driven action RPG type? Is it turn-based? What are we talking here?
It's turn-based, yeah. So it's like a JRPG kind of feel. It's turn-based, but there are timing aspects to the turn-based combat. So kind of like a Super Mario RPG where like you time your attacks to get extra damage. You can parry or dodge the enemy that's attacking you. It kind of has like a Dark Souls / Elden Ring art aesthetic to it.
I was just looking at the art for it, and it looks really nice. The graphics are kind of insane.
Gorgeous. It's gorgeous, and it has one of the best prologues I've ever played in a video game. Like by the end of the prologue, before you get into any action, any turn-based combat, it leaves you giving a shit about the characters that you're playing as. It was like
gets you hooked.
I care about these characters right away, like 30 minutes into the game. So that's good.
Awesome.
I recommend.
Awesome. Well, as of this moment in the recording, there's 1 minute and 15 seconds left in game one of Oklahoma City versus Denver. Denver currently trails 46-60 OKC with a lead. It was very close in the first quarter, but OKC has outscored Denver significantly here in the second. What will happen in the second half? I don't know. Teams are headed to the locker rooms. We'll find out next week on Apathetic Enthusiasm. Send us emails, send us texts. If there's anything we talked about that you have opinions on, like, comment, subscribe, do all the things on the YouTube, or just let us know. Thank you so much for listening. We probably will be back for like 3 or 4 months. We're going to be talking about Rick and Morty nonstop. But we're so glad you're here. You're just trying to get rid of us.
You're just trying to get rid of us so you can, like, oh, they're going to have to, they're going to the locker room.
That's it. All right. Bye. Give a second half. No, right. No, we got time. We got time.
On behalf of the playoff podcast, I am Brandon.
I look forward to the Western Conference Finals, guys. All right. I'm Travis.
Yeah. We'll see you later. Poor Lakers.